Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Again, Rob Hirsov, good morning. Let's see if you can hear us this time.
Yes, Howard, I'm all yours.
Great. Thank you for joining us once again. Welcome to Chai FM. So you recently spoke out, and I found it absolutely fascinating because it's very, very clear that the ANC, I normally say South Africa, but it's actually not South Africa. It is the ANC and a couple of cohorts have taken a very, very active and deliberate stance in terms of international policy, focusing on Israel. Let's just start at the beginning. Why do you think that this has been a strategy? It can't be simply humanitarian, because we've got a humanitarian crisis in our own country that needs work.
Well, the macro issue is the ANC have failed on every front in South Africa, every single metric. So what's the best way to try and divert attention from their failures? You know, play the international game, focus on an international issue. So that's the one sort of bait and switch approach the ANC is using. But Helen Zille said a very interesting thing. When they were negotiating for the GNU and the ministries, the one ministry they wouldn't even entertain a discussion with the ANC, with the DA, was DIRCO, the Department of International Affairs. And why? Because I believe, and so do a hell of a lot of other people, that the ANC is an Iran proxy. They are paid by Iran. The suitcases that come in with money come from Iran. And who knows, maybe the Parle-Parle money was money from Iran for the ANC. And the ANC had made a commitment, I'm pretty convinced, to Iran that, one, South Africa should file the ICJ case, the genocide case against Israel, and two, the ANC should be very, very anti-Israel, anti the West, anti-America. And you've seen that that is absolutely the DIRCO policy. So my opinion, and a lot of people agree with this, is that DIRCO has been captured by the Islamists. And look at the appointments they try to make in America. Look at the people, you know, Naledi Pandor, the dreadful Naledi Pandor, Dangor. You know, these are Islamists who are in charge of DIRCO. And the ANC had basically sold DIRCO to the Islamists. And that is why you're seeing this behavior.
Do you think that there is any anything beyond it other than finance? I mean, because it's just so interesting to watch. I mean, even though it is interesting as in watching a terrible car accident, but it is, so it's horrifying to watch, but it really is fascinating at the same time, because you look at somebody like Cyril Ramaphosa, who is this businessman, and he supposedly understands. Well, I mean, this is the image. And then you hear these ridiculous statements about Israel, about the focus, this obsession there. And you just wonder how anything can be married together in a picture that makes any sense.
Cyril Ramaphosa is at best a trade union organizer. He is a recipient of BEE largesse, and he's not a businessman. He looks the part, he dresses the part, and he acts the part, which fools, you know, gatkrapers like Martin Kingston and others into believing, and a lot of, frankly, white corporate chieftains, mainly up in Joburg, who believe that
Hey, leave Joburg alone.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, we see it pretty clearly from the Cape.
Right.
We're not on the front line. We're not on the front line. But I think a lot of the Santon corporate chieftains have been very gatkrapery with Cyril from CR17 days. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are learning their lesson. I mean, Alan Pullinger of R&B said to me, he's retired, fantastic guy. He was one of the few corporate chieftains that stood up. But he said to me recently, we were fooled by CR17. We were fooled. I admit it. What an honest, incredible man.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, wouldn't it be nice if all the other mainly Santon white CEOs said the same? Cyril Kondas. He tells them what they want to hear and then tells the next people that come into a meeting with him what they want to hear. And he's laughing at the white corporate chieftains who backed him at CR17. He's not a businessman. He's not a president. He's just a newsreader and trade union organizer at best. So why is Cyril doing it? Because the ANC is a mafia organization. They break so they can steal. And, yeah. You know, it's all about money, all about stealing. They're prostitutes. Whoever will pay them the right amount gets their attention and gets their actions. It's as simple as that. And it's clear as the driven snow. Look at our economy. You know, it's been stolen to death. Even Trevor Manuel at last got off his little comfy couch and admitted it. He said it recently. He said South Africa was broken by greed, stealing. And that's the ANC's modus operandi. You know, they should have a flag saying we break so we can steal.
There was a number of news headlines that always seem to disappear quickly, where we had a senior member of the South African National Defence Force in Iran, but on an unofficial visit. And then we had it. There's this constant flow of South African dignitaries to, or there has been, I don't know if it's possible at the moment, but to and from Iran. Do you think that is all financially motivated?
Yeah. Yes. Everything about the ANC is financially motivated. They're all about, you know, stealing. And my favorite cartoonist, Dave Dubell, did a fantastic cartoon a while back where there was this kind of shop going out of business sale.
Yeah.
And it was the ANC basically saying, it's our last chance to steal, you know, people pouring in and carrying loot out of South Africa. And that's the concept.
Do you think that the ANC cares at all about South Africans?
No, they don't have a soul. They may have had a soul. Mm. They may have had a soul under Mandela. They may have had a soul under Mbeki. But since Zuma came in, followed by Cyril Ramaphosa, it's all about mafia and stealing. That's all it's about. They have no soul. They don't care about humanitarian issues. They don't even care about South Africans. And I think people are beginning to work that out.
Well, that, as we keep saying, should be the number one focus. If we look at what is going on at the state hospitals, the state of our schooling, education, the roads.
The state of the nation.
Every aspect of it. Absolutely.
Guys, smell the roses. I mean, I don't know why people are still debating it. It is so, so clear. Listen to Prince Mashele.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some extraordinary black commentators, Kuhle, the Samasambit, you know, Frank. Just listen to Prince Mashele, if anything.
Yeah.
They're telling it like it is. I mean, it's one thing for me to say it and everyone go, oh, yeah, he's you know, wealthy, white entrepreneur and whatever.
Chuck me
on the naughty step if you want to.
Mm.
But all the black commentators that are speaking openly and honestly are saying the same thing. And remember, Cyril Ramaphosa made that fateful comment. He said, I put party ahead of country. There we go.
Mm.
From the donkey's mouth.
Yeah, well, ANC has always done that. We saw that very clearly during the Zuma period, that there was absolutely zero tolerance for anybody who spoke outside of the party and said anything that it was all about the party. It was never about the country and about the people of South Africa.
Look, it was about the party. Now it's about stealing. You know, if it was about the party only, you know, Johannesburg would be part of the GNU. Gauteng would be part of the GNU.
Mm, mm.
But the ANC in Joburg, Gauteng, went its own way. Why? Because it's the biggest economic unit in South Africa, and they were able to plunder and steal for another 2 years. But hopefully that time is coming to an end in November.
Well, let's hope it is. Certainly we spoke to Helen Zille at the end of
Here's my worry, and it's truly a message for mainly you Joburgers. If Patrice...
I'm feeling a little attacked here, hey, Rob.
Yeah, because you guys are on the front line.
I'm joking. Go for it. I love this kind of radio. It's perfect for me.
It's like Lord of the Rings. We're in Rohan,
right.
Cape Town. You guys are, frankly, in Mordor.
Right.
You've got orcs running around trying to destroy everything. So you're right in the front line. So I do feel for you a bit. But I mean, if Patrice Motsepe stands for the ANC, could all the Gatkrapers please not vote for the ANC this time? Not do Patrice Motsepe 2026? It'll be another Cyril Ramaphosa CR17. You've got to wake up. It's like in America, I cannot believe Jews still vote Democrat. I mean, how stupid are those people to still be voting for the Democrats?
Absolutely beyond.
And a lot of Jews do.
Yeah, sure. Mam Dani didn't get in for nothing.
Yeah, could all the Jews in America please grow up, wake up, and vote Republican? Jesus. Yeah. Sorry, wrong comment. Wrong comment there.
No, wrong expression. You know what? You're absolutely right. It really just makes no sense. Do you think that there's a strong chance that Patrice will lead the ANC? I mean, I don't see what choice they have, because without him, they are dead in the water anyway. But without him, they're even more dead. With him, they at least could pretend something.
Look, Patrice is a good man, an intelligent man, and a generous man. But he's not a strong man.
Ah, interesting.
Is he going to put Cyril in jail, as Cyril deserves? No. Is he going to tackle cadre or cadre deployment? No. Does he have the ability to really be tough about things? No. He will be a slightly nicer, better, more businesslike version of Cyril. It's Groundhog Day.
Absolutely no doubt, and I'm ashamed to say that I wasn't involved in the campaign at all. I wasn't involved in any aspect of it, other than I was thrilled with CR17, because I thought at least, you know, now we're going to move in the right direction. And what an idiot I was.
Huh?
Of course,
con.
Completely. Completely.
But don't do it again.
I will not do it again. Lessons learned. Rob Herzog, thank you for that. Thank you for just bringing us a healthy dose of reality that we could agree with, we can disagree with, but we're going to be thinking about. Thank you, as always. Keep talking. Keep doing what you're doing.